Thank you, Kathy. Please stand as you are able and join in our call to worship. Take delight in the Lord, who satisfies the desires of your heart. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for God.
The Lord is our salvation and our refuge in times of trouble.
Our first hymn is number 485, To God Be the Glory. Jesus promised us that God is kind, even to the ungrateful and the wicked, even to us. Trusting in God's kindness and love, let us confess our sin. Merciful God, we confess that we have not followed your ways, trusted your promises. We love only those who love us. We show kindness only to those were kind to us. Give only when we expect to receive. Forgive us, Lord. Fill our hearts with your selfless love. Change our lives by your matchless grace. These things we pray, Savior, Savior. Amen. Children of the Most High God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, we have received grace in good measure, spilling out and running over. May the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us share the peace of Christ with one another. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, by your Spirit, help us to hear your holy word, that we might be illumined, that illumined we may believe, and believing that we may follow you in all faithfulness and obedience, striving for your kingdom and its righteousness, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 45, the first part there. It's on page 42. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him. So dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do you not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine that has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest, God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty.' And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked to him." Thank you.
invite the children up. Good morning. Have you ever had someone do something wrong to you and you got mad about it? Can you remember and tell us about that? You forget. That's a good thing to forget when somebody, you're not happy with somebody.
My friend tried to throw my cat out the window.
Oh, her friend tried to throw her cat out the window. I'm not sure that's a really good friend. What did you do about it?
Did you get her out of my house?
Oh, did you ever think maybe you should forgive her?
I did at one point.
You did at one point. Wonderful. But those things hurt. And we have to make choices every day about whether we should forgive somebody for something that they do to us and we don't think it's right. Well, I want you to try this. You don't want this, you want a napkin. There we go. That might be juicy. And I want you to take that piece right there. We have a lemon up here. Try that right there. Okay, take a little bite of it. Take a little bite of your lemon and tell me what it tastes like. Ah, what's wrong with it, Sadie?
Sour.
Oh, that's like when somebody does something to us. Well, I want you to try this one of those pieces. Okay? Try this piece of lemon. Mm-hmm. Turn it over the other way and take a bite of it. See what you think. Is it any different? Is it any better? You don't think it's any better?
Too sweet.
Oh, what is it? It's too sweet. There was sugar on the second piece of lemon. So the bitter lemon is like not forgiving somebody. It stays with us and it makes us kind of feel bad and it makes us sad and we get out grumpy and out of sorts. But if we forgive somebody like that sweet-tasting lemon, like lemonade, we feel happy and better. You need another napkin, sweetie?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, here. There you go. You can put the lemon back on the plate if you want. You don't have to hold on to the lemon. You can put your trash up here. It works. Works for me. Okay, so how does forgiveness change our relate? The sugar made the lemon sweet. So how does forgiving somebody make us feel? How'd you feel after you forgave your friend? Did you feel better?
No.
You didn't feel well because it hurt your cat. Well, so I find that I had an argument with a person, and I said that I finally went to the Lord, and I just said, "What can I do?" And of course, the Lord came back and said, "Well, you got to forgive him." And it's like, yes. And so I prayed about it, and I forgave her, and then I finally said it to her, and once I said it to her, I felt like a load had been lifted. Well, the story of Joseph is much like that. He forgave his brothers for what they had done to him because they had put him in a pit and they were just going to let him die there. And then they saw this way that they could sell him to a passing caravan of camels and drivers. They were going to Egypt. So he sold him to them, and he was sold into where he had to work for people for no money. And that was horrible. But Joseph forgave them. And when they came to Egypt where he was and needed something, he was able to help them. And in the scripture lesson that Frank read, it said that he could forgive his brothers, that God sent him. He said, "God sent me here. You didn't send me here, God did, so that I could keep you alive later." So we need to follow Joseph's example of forgiving people and forgive others. Let us pray. God, thank you for forgiving us for our sins. And please help us to remember Joseph and find strength to forgive people who wrong us. In Jesus' name, amen. And now Miss Terry's going to take you to children's time. Children's church, okay? Thanks for coming up. Our gospel lesson comes from Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 38. Love for enemies. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask them for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be the children of the Most High, for he's kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. Here ends the reading. Our scriptures today cover some major tenets of Christianity. Do unto others as you would want them to do to you, and forgiveness. That's a lot of breath. If you stop and think about it, this world would be a better place if everyone practiced these ideas. If you treat others kindly, you often get kindness in return. If you forgive, you lift a burden from them as well as yourself. Our Genesis reading is in the middle of the story of Joseph. It began as jealousy. The older brothers were not happy with the special treatment their father gave to Joseph. Joseph's mother had died in the delivery of her second son, Benjamin. Jacob had 12 sons in all with several different women. The older brothers were unhappy with the privileges and the colorful coat that Joseph received from their father. So they sold him to a passing caravan and convinced their father he'd been eaten by a wild beast. However, Joseph led somewhat of a charmed life, being sold up in Egypt to an official high in Pharaoh's government. Well, Joseph had always been good at with interpreting dreams, his own and others. Well, you know the story. Joseph ended up, after some dream interpretations for Pharaoh, to be considered the second in command in Egypt. That's a switch. Sold into slavery, now he's second in command. Well, the great famine came in the Middle East, and finally his brothers made their way to Egypt as it had become known that they had food. Joseph finally revealed himself to his brothers. They are shocked, ashamed, and fearful for their lives because of what they had done to Joseph. But Joseph had that different take on the situation. He felt that it had all been part of God's plan for their survival. Had he not been in Egypt and in charge of how to confront the famine and its effects, he would not have had food available for others. He was able to save his family as a result of being sold off by his brothers. God's plan, something good out of evil. An example of extreme forgiveness and living life according to God's principles comes from a horrific event. This happened some years ago. A Christian Korean student was living in Philadelphia as an exchange student. He was attending the University of Pennsylvania. He left his dorm one evening to mail a letter. He was brutally attacked by thugs, beaten with a blackjack and a lead pipe, and then with their fists and their feet. And then these tough guys left him by the side of the street to die. Well, they were caught, and as the issues of getting them to trial was being worked through, they were all underage. A letter arrived from the family in Korea, and this is what they wrote. Our family has met together, and we have decided to petition the most generous treatment possible within the laws of your government to be given to those who had committed this criminal act. In order to give evidence of the sincere hope contained in this petition, we have decided to save money to start a fund to be used for the religious, educational, vocational, and social guidance of the boys when they are released. We have dared to express our hope with the spirit received from the gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. The Christian faith had only been in Korea for about 100 years when this happened. Would you be able to turn the other cheek and forgive to such a magnitude? What a testimony to the power of faith in our Lord. God can be trusted to work behind the scenes, no matter what twists and turns our lives take. He can bring good out of evil, justice out of injustice, and joy out of pain. We just have to be strong in our faith and patient as it all unfolds. And this happens in God's time, not ours. Have you ever been stung by a rebuke or a situation where you felt you were unfairly treated? And how did you handle it? Were you able to forgive those causing the hurt? Did you ever tell the person you forgave them? You might remember the name Corrie ten Boom. She was a Dutch watchmaker. And during World War II, her family's home was a safe house for Jews and others pursued by the Nazi. They were Dutch Christians. Unfortunately, they were turned in by another Dutch citizen in early 1944. And after an investigation, they were taken to concentration camps. In the house at the time, there were several hidden people. About 3 days later, the Dutch underground was able to locate them and release them and get them to safety. But in the concentration camp, her father and later her sister passed away. Corrie was released 12 days after her sister died due to a clerical error in late December of 1944. After the war, she returned to the Netherlands and set up a rehabilitation center for concentration camp survivors. But in true Christian spirit, to which she was so devoted, she also took in those in need who had cooperated with the Germans during the occupation. And in 1946, she began a worldwide ministry that took her to more than 60 countries. Many years after these events, Corrie came face to face with one of her former guards, one that had treated she and her sister with horrible cruelty. Their eyes met, and he asked her to forgive him. Internally, she struggled, knowing God would want her to forgive. But she wasn't sure she could do that. So she prayed right then and there, internally, and she said, for strength. And then she reminded herself, the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. So in her own words, this is what she says. Woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me, and I experienced an incredible thing. The current started in my shoulder, raced down into my arms, and sprang into our clutched hands. Then the warm reconciliation seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, she cried with her whole heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard, the former prisoner. I have never known the love of God so intensely as I did in that moment. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you.
She later wrote an autobiography called More Than a Hiding Place, 1971. And finally, in 2023, it was made into a film. But Corey had long passed away on her 91st birthday in 1983. And my late mother was privileged to hear her speak once in this country and said that she was very inspiring. I was young at the time, but I remember her commenting on that. Another journey in life might be dealing with those suffering with memory issues. For most of us, as we age, we get a little fuzzy on some things. But then there are others who are more than a little fuzzy. We need lots of patience in turning the other cheek, so to speak, as we repeat and they repeat. We need to forgive and treat them as we hope someone would treat us if we had similar issues. We need to reach deep down inside and find our faith in God to have strength to deal with these changes. Nothing like some prayer time to give us strength. I didn't do as well as I think I should have with my mom as she traveled that road. It was so difficult to remember to be patient and not get upset with her inability to comprehend something. Once we had a horrible argument and I left, only to discover that I couldn't get into my car because I'd left my keys in her room. I went back inside and the gal at the desk saw me and stopped me. And she told me, "Your mom and another resident spent part of their afternoon today in the ice cream parlor complaining that no one ever visited them. But they both get regular visitors, so don't be hard on yourself." Wow. That put a new light on why we had had such a difficult visit. But I walked down the hall, dreading another confrontation because I had to have my keys. I walked into her room and I said, "Hi." And she was so surprised and happy to see me. She thanked me for coming. Absolutely no remembrance of our issues, not 5 minutes before. The joy of dementia for her, no recollection of the prior visit. I stayed a few minutes, picked up my purse and keys, and said goodbye and headed out. And on the way home, I thanked God that she didn't remember and asked him to forgive me for my mishandling of that situation in the first place and to give me more patience. I still need a lot of help there. In the words of Clara Barton, founder of the Red Cross, "I distinctly remember forgetting that when asked if she remembered a wrong that was done to her." We need to let go. We would be happier if we dwell on happy events and remember to forget the unhappy things. I have one last illustration. Robert E. Lee, the commander of the South during the Civil War, was visiting a woman at her plantation that had been ravaged by the Army of the North during that war. The war was long over, and she was still remembering the pain and complained to him about the split tree in the front yard, split by a Union shell. Finally, Lee couldn't take any more of her complaining, and he rose to leave early. And he told her as he left, "Cut it down, my dear madam, and forget it." As long as that tree remained, she would dwell on her unhappiness and not move on. God wants us to move on from sadness and find happiness. It's good for the soul. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 7 says, "Love is patient, love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." Now, if I replace love and it with Jesus, it reads like this. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Jesus does not insist on his own way. Jesus is not irritable or resentful. Jesus does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. Jesus bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And you can read it again a third time and replace Jesus with your own name. This is the type of love that God shows us and the type of love that God wants us to share with everyone each day. When we truly love and trust in God, we can forgive and we can be at peace. What can you do today to move on and be happy? Amen. Please stand for our hymn, Spirit, number 319.
Thank you.
Please remain standing for the Apostles' Creed. It's found on your pew card. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Let us pray. God of abundant mercy, you alone can turn evil into good, sorrow into rejoicing, and death into everlasting life. Teach us your way of grace, to meet hatred with kindness, to answer curses with blessing, to love without holding back, to give without thought of return. We thank you for forgiving us and for coming among us to heal our pain and resentments. Teach us to pray for our enemies. Their names are many, and we whisper some of them now before you in our hearts. Be with them. Guard them from harm, and guide them in the way of your light. Save us from self-righteousness, and help us begin our lives anew. Heal the nations, mighty Lord. Rain peace on all people. Give hope to the hopeless, and love to the lonely. Comfort the sick. Make whole the broken. Make wise the foolish. Humble the powerful. Make glad the hearts of those who tend our loved ones, and for any who are in pain, give them release and rest. Speak love to David, Elva, Gretchen, Ken, Sally, Jackie, Pat, Peggy, Janine, Shirley, Herb, Charlene and her family, Joan and her family, and others not named. You know them. Now we pray silently for we give you thanks for the church, for the meek, for the courageous, for those who teach us how to wait. We praise you for the life-giving spirit that inhabits those whose visions have shown the path to lifelong faith. Now we join together to pray the prayer you gave the disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Pass it on. It is the song sheet that you have. Let's stand and join in singing.
Remember, Luke 6, 37 and 38 says, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. For God is kind to all and full of mercy." We are filled with life-giving spirit from our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. We bear the image of the risen one and take delight in the abundance of what we have already received. Now may the Lord who sent Joseph to Egypt, taught him to forgive, and gave him tears of joy at reunion with his family, surround your days with strong visions, worthy work, reconciliations, and the strength to preserve. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.